someone, I would make it complicated. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world alone. There is no sickness, no toil, no danger in that bright land to which I go.
Bill's singing it Sunday. That's why I leaned over. I was like, can I try one?
Yeah, why not, right? Why not? It's
and I don't think you heard
Thursday.
Me, but I still did it anyway. So. All right.
It is Thursday. Right there, Bruce?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Pastor's message this week, she's going to be speaking on the widow with the two mites, M-I-T-E-S. She calls her message the widow with... What did it say with mite? Widow's mite with the capital M-I-G. She's like, cool. That's pretty clever. I like that. And she had told me. Oh, you're welcome. She had also told me that. What did she tell me? Tell me what? Oh, thank you. She had also told me that she had had. Thinking of the widow's mite, she always thought about the little old lady from Pasadena. You know, because she's like, give granny, give granny, give granny, give, right? It's like, okay. So that, and she gave me another. Bye, right? She gave me like a couple lines, and I decided to run with it. So, all right, the Little Late from Pasadena wasn't quite the title I wanted to go with here, right? We needed to do something a little bit different. So, in the Greek, there is a word ekklesia. All right, now, some people say, no, Greg, that's not how you pronounce it. Well, if you spell it E K K E L E S A, it's pronounced ekklesia. It's ekklesia otherwise. All right. But ecclesia is the original way. So, obviously, I grabbed it. That's, syllables work better.
I was going to say there's an even better reason why you did it that way, though.
Why was that? Why was
because that? The little old lady from ecclesia doesn't work in a song.
Precisely.
Yeah,
right.
That's... You don't need to overcomplicate it. It's all good. I can't sing it either.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. I gotta get help here. Ready?
Yeah.
It's the little lady from Ecclesia. It's the little old lady from Ecclesia. Go, ready, go, ready, go, ready, go. And a rundown house no one can see her. Go, ready, go, ready, go, ready, go. She lives in a rickety old garage, but she loves her guy, that's no surprise. And everybody's saying that there's nobody.
Fun song. I tell you what, when I was writing the lyrics to this, I was just giddy. I mean, I'm writing this, oh, this is a really good line. Oh, I like this line. Oh, this is a fun line. Yes, it was fun. Lots of fun.
Costume changes again.
Sometimes I try to be nice and put other songs back to back, but I wasn't sure what else Bruce and I were going to do, but now we know. We know. Hang on a second here. Let me see who's rolled in.
All right. You
want to
take verse 2?
So oh, verse 2? Sure.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the first one, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm seeing Noah and Dan and David and Janice and Dolores.
Slapping the bass, Gary and not Sandy, slapping
Mary,
the mic.
That's right. We got all kinds of people hanging out here. That's a good place to be. Remember, we're taking prayer requests, too. So you got any prayer requests? I'll look over on the other... One here. Hold on a second.
Got a little ring going on.
Yeah, it might be coming from one of those mics.
Ring, ring. Hello.
There we go. Wipe out those mics if that might have been the one doing it. With no capo, right?
Sounds like it was.
Wait a second. One more. Wait a second. Whoa. Yes, I got my foot pillow back. Yay.
My heart, I'm a
Wait, hold on here. All right, Kelsey's joined us. And Kelsey, yes, we continue to lift you against that crazy Lyme disease and the spleen pain I know you've been having, and all the other and the financial challenges that the enemy keeps dropping on you. So God is good and God is able. Anybody know who one of their best friends is? Anybody? Who do you think one of your best friends is? Hint, hint, hint.
You came with friends, didn't we? Two.
Amen. Sing along with us.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Every weakness. there.
Well, let me think. 80% is... 80% is about what I hit. Maybe I should have practiced that one on the bass anyway. So God is good. But God is good. Our God is able. Who else is rolled in here? Uh-oh. Noah's on. Uh-oh.
You know, we can do we can do one of his songs in place of the special.
Okay.
I'm
no,
being...
like that. We'll still might do it anyway, right?
I'm being petty.
Come on. Come on. Oh, what did we decide? No capo, right? No capo.
Capo 7.
All right, so in the with the pastor's message on the widow with the two mites and giving, there was a song from 1977 by Supertramp called Give a Little Bit, and it's a Brandon favorite.
Yeah, if you really want to get on my good side, just play this everywhere I'm at.
Kroger's.
That was my example.
Elevators.
Yeah, Kroger's elevators. All the time.
But the good news is that this one? I thought I left that on. And the good news is that this song? There's another song that will offset this one later.
Well, it'll definitely make them forget about this one if it goes the way.
Well, they might want to forget about this one anyway. Let's see how this one goes, Brandon. It'll be fun.
There we go.
I'll be with you on everything except for the first verse. How's that sound?
He said he'll be with me on everything except for the first verse.
Which is that a threat? No, it's not.
I was going to play it on my 11-string guitar.
But I wish you would have. The abbreviated version, but it's all fun. It's all good indeed. Who else is rolled? Let's see who else is rolled in here. God bless Kelsey. She's asking, where's Melody? Well, Melody, as she can see, is not here. Of course, she might be saying, why? Because I actually shaved the camera down because there is no one else ever standing over here, Kelsey. So the image is, but Melody is with her mother, hanging out, doing whatever
mothers and melodies do.
Mothers and melodies do. Thank you. That's good. So Karen was fond of a song she'd been playing a little bit. She said, hey, this is a fun song. Let's have some fun. So this is going to be our offering song, and it's a song from 1950. Okay. Called It Is No Secret. I guess I should say it correctly because how it's sung. See what you remember. I bet you're going to remember this one. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light, you'll never walk alone. Seal and hold wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Did you remember that? Oh, you heard it when you were in college then. Oh!
Hey, Greg.
Oh, it's all good.
You know how they talk about social distancing? You better pray on that now. You better pray that she stays distant from me.
Actually, Karen, where did you... Was that a song that... I can't even talk. Lori. Is that a song that Lori was wanting you to try? Just a song you just picked up and played? Do you remember it maybe from church, or where did you remember that? Where did that song come from?
Lawrence Welk.
Oh, Lawrence Welk. Okay, Lawrence Welk.
Tiny boats.
Lawrence Welk. Okay, now the pastor is fond of getting lyrics from Carolyn Gillette. I can't remember her middle name. Carolyn Gillette, and likes to post a lot of different hymns. And we decided we're doing this in three, right? F. Whatever you have it in, Karen. I think we matched before. Whatever you had it before. However you're playing it. Sat and watched the crowd at the temple treasury. Some that day were rich and proud, making sure that all could see their great generosity. Then a widow came along who had nothing she could spare, yet her faith
just a penny, nothing more. Yet Christ said her gift was best. What a risk for one so poor. What rich faith her gift expressed. Trusting, giving, she was blessed.
Notes at the end.
I didn't miss a note. I didn't try for any either.
Well, you know, it's been funny because this particular hymn, well, for starters, it's a hymn that isn't really familiar in this church. However, it's in the hymnal, and of course, because most of the congregation doesn't even know the hymn anyway, I thought, well, I might as well do the new words with it too. So it was a double shot for me, which is why I wasn't trying to play this and sing it. It's a double brain. Extra beat, he says. Okay, last one. Extra beat keeps. Well, you're going to say it, and I'm still going to miss it. But don't worry, I'll get it eventually because I'll miss it the first time, get it the second time.
This is going to be the greatest Karen solo you.
All right, because remember, it's the widow's mite. The widow's mite. It was money dropping in, right?
Right. Right.
Ooh. You got Karen get her fantastic.
All right,
solo.
That's right. So we had to figure out how to do this song, right?
We haven't figured it out yet either.
And so Karen found she can do these really cool sounds. lyrics on that too, don't I? But still, it's a fun song, isn't it? It's one of those.
For a Thursday, I'll give it. Oh my goodness, she's got fire. But a little fun fact to those, because it's hard to see from here. That's a quarter. Use it as a pick for money. Gotta have a little.
Fortunately, our drummer is keeping me honest. He said Noah requested this song.
Which
so
one are we
so
doing?
So happy. And maybe. What page is
a
it?
A page.
It's on page 27, actually, on this particular one.
Capo 2. Might have a chance on this one.
Of course, we decided that it's always fun to kind of do different lyrics.
Extended intro here.
You can do the different lyrics. Imagine you and me. Say it all backwards. Well, maybe I can do the lines backwards. So happy together. To think about a God I love and hold him tight.
I think he's having a stroke or something.
It's only right.
Hey, Greg.
Imagine me and you.
Just play the notes. Stop. There you go. There it is.
You didn't like my variation?
I was concerned for you.
Thank you. Thanks for requesting that, Noah. Let's see if we got any other prayer requests that rolled in.
For the band, apparently. But
All right, give me a moment to switch over to the microphone here. And move some things around. Actually, Melody, were you going to do this? Were you going to take this for me? You change your mind? Okay, so message. So,
he said,
yeah.
Just share a short message, then we can pray. It sounds like you said, I like that.
Poor Melody. Poor Melody. Poor Melody.
Show up late to the party and go home early.
That's true. That's true. She did say she wanted to do some prayer stuff. You feeling what? You feeling what? Huh, what she said. But nobody knows what you said because I didn't turn on this other microphone yet. Rita is home. She had her blood pressure was running low. She had a chemo treatment today, I think. Or recently, anyway. Recent enough that she felt it was going to cause her some grief. So she wasn't with low blood pressure. It's not a good thing for driving or anything for that matter. So we're lifting her up in prayer, of course, because God is good and God is able. And I'm hoping that this thing is going to be very polite to me now, like it almost was last time. So, gosh, here we are again. One, two, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Bruce, 10. Okay. Oh, forgot my paper. Had some people send me some prayer requests already that we're obviously we're going to be. We are going to be lifting up. lifting up by God's grace and glory. So, Lord, I thank you. So, how's everyone's week? Been good so far. Good so far. Got a thumbs up over here. We got a little bit of everything happening. Katie's gone missing.
Okay, bye bye.
Yeah, that means I have to take her home.
All right. Oh, and here goes Karen and Katie. Okay, so now all of a sudden Katie thinks she's going to be left behind. Okay. All right then, Katie. We'll see if she gets left behind or not. Left behind or not. All right, good deal. So what's going on? Oh, that's good. Talk is good. Talk is good. And while I wait for the phone to finally catch on, let's just see what's happening right here. What do you think's happening here today? Same thing has been happening for the last 2,000 plus years, right? Or 6,000 if you want to go all the way back to the way it's officially calculated, including the days where time went backwards. Melody and I were talking about that. That's good. Yeah, because science proves it. Science proves it. I should bring up briefly. Well, okay. So scientists, science can prove a lot of different things, and of course, it'll prove some cool things in the Bible. And I have to take the link and probably post it up on my Facebook page so people can read more specifically about it. But there were a group of scientists that were working backwards to calculate the beginning of the world, right? To calculate the number of days to the world, and they ended up coming up like a day short, and they couldn't figure out why their calculations were coming off like a day off from all their different tests that they were doing, and a Christian in the room said, hey, well, you remember there's the story in the Bible. Story in the Bible where God moved time back. Actually, there were two instances with that. There was one where one of the kings asked for a sign from God, and God said, okay, do you want me to move the sundial forward or backwards? He said, well, something that always goes forward. He said, I want you to move it back. So he actually moved it back 12 hours. And then there was another one where a battle was going on where God said he kept daylight until the battle by the Israelites was won. So yeah, anyway, yeah, I'll have to find that. I'll have to find that and see.
Bye.
Find that and see what we got. But, okay, so this isn't going to be very polite to me. You'd like to think I'd have this figured out by now, but no. No, it's not going to be that polite. So hopefully, Melody, can you bring up my page, my Greg Conrad page? Just let me know if anybody has posted any other requests and that on there, because it ain't happening here. So let's see what opened up today. Actually, I was hoping to have a young lady here named Sharon we prayed for on Sunday, and I was hoping to actually have her here tonight. She wasn't able to make it tonight. She said she'll be here Sunday. It's like, excellent.
Excellent. That's good. She's the one we prayed for. I had cysts on the knees, and some other things have been wearing her down. Oh no, no, no. We prayed for her. Because we pray for all kinds of people. All right, Lord, you got me opened up here. I'm looking between Luke 19 and 20, and where are you going to take me here? Are you going to take me here? No, oh, okay. We're going to talk about Luke 20. Luke 20, verse number 9, the parable of the tenants. Parables are always fun. They're stories, right? They're stories that Jesus likes to tell. And he said he went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, and he rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. Okay, all right. Okay, you guys got to see Tyler. This is how Tyler's looking at me, man. It's like a story time. All right, this is like grade school story time. He's like, "Oh, Greg, we love you, brother. It's great. It's great." It's great, but anyway, you had to see that. So anyway, let us continue. He rented it and went away. He went away for a long time. And at harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant. But that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. And so this owner of the vineyard, he sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. All right. So verse 13. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do?" He said, "I know. I will send my son whom I love. Perhaps they will have respect for him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over, and they said, "This is the heir." He said, "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And then, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. And when the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." And Jesus looked directly at them and said, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written, which is the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." He said, "The teachers of the law and the chief priests look for a way to arrest him immediately," because they knew what was going on. They knew that was a cool thing with Jesus. He'd speak in these parables. And so for most people, it's like, "Ah, nice story," you know. But the Pharisees knew what was going on. They figured this out. And they said that they knew that he had spoken against them, but they were afraid to do anything with Jesus because they were afraid of the people, because the people were enthralled. They were just enthralled with Jesus. And I'm inclined to keep going on here. So remember now, the Pharisees are trying to capture Jesus. They're trying to trick him, right? They're trying to catch him on something that they, in the worldly laws, can go ahead and bring against Jesus. So this next one is titled "Paying Taxes to Caesar." This is Luke 20, begins on verse 20. So keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest, and they hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the government. So the spies questioned him and said, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." He said, "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription are on it?" So they hold up a coin. "Whose scripture is on it?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." And they were unable to trap him in what he had said in public, and they were astonished by his answer, and they became silent. Astonished by his answer. Isn't that amazing? And I'm kind of inclined even to go a little further with you. Oh, Sandy's here. Good. So the resurrection and the marriage. So this is on verse 27, Luke 20, verse 27. He said, "And some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses wrote for us that if a man and brothers dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married the woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her in the same way. All seven died, leaving her with no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? All right, they're thinking like men, right? They're thinking like people, like humans, that logic of the world. Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But an account of the bush, even Moses, showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." And some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Don't you just kind of just dig at this, how this is happening here, right? Jesus had such an incredible wisdom. Wisdom, I mean, he knew exactly how to come against, how to neutralize evil. He did. He knew exactly how to neutralize evil. And that's what we're called to do. You know, we're called to neutralize this stuff, you know? Not be cowering to it, not going along with it, just go down the list, right? Let's see if anybody else has, this finally came up here for me, Melanie. I don't know if you saw anything else. Let's see. So Mary actually asked the question. So if time is different, does that explain how the women had babies at 90 and 100 years old? I'm not sure which part of the scripture she was referring to on that, but with regard to that, she's. Do you know what she was referring to on that, Tyler?
She reads. She was reading the Old Testament.
Oh, the stories of like Sarah and that who conceived at an old age.
Yeah.
That's right. Just showing nothing is impossible for God, right? I mean, the human, their bodies in human fashion said, "Nope, it's not possible for me to have kids, children anymore." But God did, right? God did. God is good. God is good. Everything okay with him? Do you know? You want to go find out for me, Melody? And would you mind going outside and finding out for me? Well, if they need help, we'll shut off our live and go out and help them. But you never know. You never know. So what's been going on, Tyler? See, I get to click my magical button here. There, I clicked it.
Let's see. So what's been happening this week, Tyler? Anything exciting?
I'm trying to think.
You've just had an okay, not too crazy eventful week?
Well, I have to get a liver test.
A liver test?
Next Tuesday.
Really? What's that all about?
So when I went to the doctor last week, I got my first blood test, and everything had checked out, but he said that my numbers were slightly over, so he wants to take a test on my liver, so I can't take any over-counter medication or drink any alcohol, which I haven't drank alcohol in almost a month.
Okay.
But I think when we prayed, when I came back, I think that helped. Probably they'll take the test and be like, "Oh."
Yep. So, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. That's what God does.
But just kind of working, and
right. Just get her done. Get her done. Everything okay?
Oh yeah. Okay, they had a friend bring a new car, and they thought service was over because the band left. So the friend came.
And okay.
It was like
outside socializing.
My new car.
But so.
Good.
Want to pray for my dad. He's leaving for Pocono, Pennsylvania for a week for work.
Going to Pennsylvania, okay.
Yeah, my grandma's throwing a parade all around the neighborhood. She's probably having a laugh about it right now. She's hearing me say it.
She may have. She's watching.
I won't mention any names, but this is a good friend of mine. She's going to Hilton Head for the week. And pray for safe travel mercies for her and her friends. Yeah.
Oh, what a coincidence. My wife and daughter are going there, too.
So, yeah. Pray for the travel group, for safe travels.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How are things for you, Melody?
We're very close, except it's not friends plural, it's friends singular.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it was at one point, and then she had to bail.
Which one's going with you?
Julia's going with me.
Julia's going, okay.
Yep, me, Julia, and Mom. Let's see. Prayer was. I mean, today was a good day, but.
Good.
But it would seem like bragging if I shared what it was, so we're going to gloss over that.
All right.
But it was nice. We went to Grand Finale for dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
This is why I was late. It's
good excuse.
Cheesecake, which was nice.
Did you bring some home?
Actually, I did, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
It's a little bit. But it's like the white chocolate hazelnut.
Well, hazelnut, yeah.
I don't know.
You just
that was what we got. It was a moment I got the dinner where it was like two dinners and a dessert for like a deal. So it was like a couple's meal. So we got that, and that's the dessert it came with, which was pretty nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, good.
I mean, talked to a lot of people about God today at work, so that was really nice.
Excellent.
Just kind of slide it on in there, you know? Even if it's just a have a blessed day at the very end. Sometimes it's as simple as that, but other times it's, you know, if anyone starts talking about COVID, I'm like, well, you know, I'm just praying, you know, that God eradicates it. And
yes.
So I'm like flipping the whole conversation, flipping the whole narrative, because their argument is yes or no to mass. And so I say, well, what's the bigger argument here? I say that's that we should be praying that we're eradicating this disease.
Amen.
So that we don't have to talk about are we wearing masks or not. So anyway, it kind of segues into once we have all the prayer requests, I've been feeling led by the Holy Spirit to pray about COVID and to just pray for its removal, for that it will be destroyed, that we won't have to deal with this anymore. So I think when we're doing our prayer tonight, if we could have a special emphasis on that, I think that would be really powerful. And I mean, it's really important right now because as a church, we need to come together and unite against this disease in essence. Because otherwise, it's just going to keep running amok. You know, the devil has had too long running around. This has been his field day. And so it's time that we stand up and say, this is awful, and enough is enough, you know?
Go.
Exactly.
Also, we need someone to say, it's going to end. We need healed.
Exactly.
End.
Bingo.
Because that's what I get so mad about.
That's right. It's got to stop.
I stay in my room all day because I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
I just can't.
It's got to end.
It has to end.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to pray about.
All right. Yeah, we'll be specific on that. But while we're talking to you, Linda,
okay.
There must have been, I think, if I heard correctly from, understood correctly from Melody, did you just experience a joy?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chrissy got a new car.
Who did?
Chrissy, my niece.
Chrissy.
And what I was saying when I left, many years ago, said he came here to tell us two of us passed away. And that was remembered. I said, oh no, what happened now?
Yeah.
Chrissy has never had a new car. She's been driving the one I gave her.
Yeah.
And it's always breaking down. And she's really good with her money. She's very thrifty, and she decided that because she's having the kids more, the little ones, that she needs a good car. So she
bought
a new one, brand new one, and She's very, very happy.
And, excellent.
It's very nice.
Nice.
It's a Kia Seltos.
A blessing. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And she was very happy. So was Sandy.
Nice.
I did have a praise this week from Deb. She gave me a pack. I could put it in my space downstairs. Remember the song you play every year for me?
I Will Go?
I Will Go.
Right.
Have that voice in it.
That's okay. The verse on it.
Ah.
I will go where you go. Yep. I will stay where you stay.
Nice.
And she gave it to me and go in the basement. In my space.
Nice. Nice.
Okay, I have a space downstairs where I go to.
That's excellent. It's good to have a space.
So if I met her, like,
so, you have your room or your space?
Nice.
But two people who left from VV, tomorrow's her last, the last day. They both go to school, same school, and I gave a present to one, but the other one I didn't. I don't know her that well to give her a present. In fact, I didn't know if she would leave until Wednesday.
Yeah.
She's going to be a...
That'll be good, though.
She's going to learn how to be a... Therapist?
Physical yeah. Therapist?
I never can say that.
That's right.
Nice.
And so I was happy for her, but I'm going to miss her Monday. I mean, Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, God's opening new doors for him, right?
Right.
So it'll be good. It'll be good. Wonderful. Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
Anything else? Or are you handing off to Debbie? She's handing off to Debbie.
Speaking of COVID, I wanted to say this on Sunday, but we were only giving good news on Sunday. And my neighbor texted me. She has three little ones, and she's a teacher, counselor, actually. And she texted me and asked me to pray for her with the COVID. Her little ones are going to be going to daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Her oldest child is going to be going to school. And she's going back to school. And she is very, very worried about this. Even to the point when we are together in yards, we have to be separated. We have to be, I mean, she doesn't expect us to wear a mask, but we have to have distance.
Right.
And she's very, very worried about it. And so I told her that I would mention that at church.
Absolutely.
And that we would pray for her. Her name is Alex, and the kids are so cute. We just love them. Also, and tell Meemaw this, remember the young man, Brandon, who came into the store and we developed a
friendship? Is that the one I gave you the verse for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He, our apartment above the store is available, and so Karen asked if, you know, if they had anybody, and so we told Brandon about it. He's been looking for a place, but he has a dog. He's a pit bull mix. She, Miss June is her name, and she's a real cute dog. And so we passed that on to the landlord, and then we passed on Brandon. Brandon called him, and then the landlord was in today, and I told him about him. And that Karen and I would feel safe if he were in the building. We didn't feel safe with the other people that were. And there were three of them.
Yeah.
But, and when I told him that, he says, well, then That's all I need to know.
All right, good.
So hopefully Brandon will get the apartment.
Nice.
So it's cool. And he needs to be away from his family. So this is good.
Excellent.
He'll be away from them. And today in school.
At work.
I had a very busy day, which is good. But I had an interesting day. So God was there. And my last customer reminded me of the widow and her mite. The widow mite. And
nice.
So that was cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
Neat stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to hear. I had some other things with that too. Let's. Melody, I think what I'd like to do is be specific on the other ones that we have. Well, on all these I've got we've lifted up here, and then we'll go. And then if you would come up here, I want you to wear this microphone, so let me switch.
There you go, switch back over to this microphone. For those on Facebook. I did not have Terry Holcomb written on here. Yep, and Nancy and Tom. Those are the main ones. Those others I know too. Well, actually, for that matter, Doug. Nancy and Doug. Eyes. You have some things going on with his eyes and Tim. Actually, I think there was a sheet up there that the pastor has. She's written some down already too. I think these are the same ones on that sheet, if I remember correctly. All right, let's lift all this up. Lift all this up in prayer. So, Lord,
can we go in a circle?
We're kind of in a circle. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay, Lord, we lift this up to you, Lord. We just know our circle is you, God. Our circle is you. And Lord, I just thank you by your amazing grace and by your mercy. And by your love, and by your peace. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, we're going to be very specific on this COVID garbage here in a moment, but we want to be, there's other things right now, of course, that are messing with a lot of God's children. And so, Lord, I've got a text earlier from about a baby. The baby's name is Ryder, having bowel issues. So their doctors are concerned with that. So just, Lord, I just thank you that you hear your touch, for your touch on the healing on this little baby, as this little baby is made fully whole, just fully whole in the name of Jesus. We had Bill Wright that was here earlier, and he wanted to be specific for his neighbors, for Bob and Norma. Bob's not been feeling well, and Norma tested, I think she tested positive for COVID. Bob's been dealing with some bronchitis stuff. He's also dealing with COPD, so just lung stuff, so. So, Lord, we're lifting up Bob and Norma, and we're just proclaiming the victory for them, Lord, that whatever is tormenting them is flushed out, and they're made fully whole, with no ongoing consequences in that. Lord, we come against Lyme disease and just speak life into the spleen for Kelsey. Just your life, your strength, your glory power, Lord. Kelsey, if you're when you're watching this, listening to this, I want you to put your hand on that spleen and just say, this healing belongs to me. Because what Jesus has done, spleen, you must now come into perfect balance and be made fully whole. In the glorious name of Yeshua Christ Jesus, we speak under the authority of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the name that every knee must bow to. Every knee must bow. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm thanking the test that Tyler's going to be having, her blood test. It's just going to show everything's fine. Doctor saw a little something, but we just say no. It's just he didn't see what he saw. Everything's good. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Daddy, for travel mercies. Travel mercies for Tyler's dad going to Pennsylvania for a week. Just keep him focused. Keep him at peace. Just let your love and your blessings just show. Just reveal yourself to him in an amazing way, Lord. Just through the kindness of a stranger, for an opportunity for maybe to him to be kind and bless somebody. Thanking you, Lord, for those who this time of year especially go through their travels. I've got Lynette and Melody And who else was it? Melody? Julia. And Julia, all going. So I thank you, Lord. And you know, as I say, as I said Julie before Julie, and that's because there's a, I'm lifting up the family of Julianne Morrison. She is the cousin of my dad, and she's, let me think, am I saying that right? No, she'd be the second cousin, wouldn't she be? Anyway, she was 54. And has passed recently from just a bunch of stuff. She'd been dealing with things on and off for years, past 3 years especially. And it's just speaking peace for that family. Great peace for that. Lord, we're rejoicing in new cars. Blessings in new cars, just making a way, right? That's an awesome blessing for Christy. So thank you, Lord. And for the people at V&V that are moving on to different things, I thank you, Lord. You've opened the paths, right? God makes all things work for the good. And Lord, we thank you. We're trusting that they receive good and great goodness. And Lord, we're lifting up this neighbor of Debbie and Linda, for Alex and the concern that she has for her children. Lord, we just thank you Lord, that it can stay as a concern and not as a fear, right? It cannot be a fear, right? It cannot be false evidence appearing real. It cannot be a false experience appearing real. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. The Word of God is the truth. So, Lord, I just thank you that your truth just brings her the peace to know a concern is fine, but fear is crippling, and fear is not from God. We're told that in 2 Timothy 1:7. God gave us a sound mind and body, right? Fear is not from God. Fear is not from you, Lord. So thank you. We just speak the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and for Alex, all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of provision for housings, for the shelter, for Brandon at this apartment above the store. Just thank you, Lord, that the paths are made clear. Whatever needs to happen on the finance side and everything, Lord, it just happens. It just happens. So, Lord, we're thanking you greatly for these things. And thank you for all the different experiences in that you blessed Debbie with. Wow, she can just share blessings. That's awesome. That's such a neat thing. Daddy, we're lifting up Terry Holcomb. She's been dealing with some heart, what they call it, arrhythmia. Is it arrhythmia? Is that what it's called? Where the heart's not, anyway. Peace. We speak peace and perfect rhythm, right? Get in the band here with us. We'll get some perfect rhythm going there with that. Well, maybe not tonight. But anyway, perfect rhythm for our Lord. Just make that heart brand new and perfect. Lord, we're coming against this garbage that's messing with our brother Tom Bevington. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that what the doctors have declared a cancerous tumor, we come against it. We command it shrink and leave with no ill effect. In the same way that we had Bruce up here that had three lymph nodes, you know, that had gotten large enough to feel, and God made those shrink and go away, right? He made those shrink and go. So, Lord, I thank you that same victory for Tom. So, Tom, brother, put your hand right where the pain is right there. If however close, wherever, get close to it, just tell it to go. Command it bow, command it shrink, command it leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, we stand with you, brother. We make that proclamation. Standing upon the King of Kings, Lord, so thank you. Lord, for Nancy Beckman, for her back, Lord Jesus, they're saying that the bone density is not good enough to do certain things in that. Lord, we just say that everything is good. Everything comes back into perfect alignment. She is made fully whole. There's no need for surgery. That she is made fully whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Daddy, we've not seen that victory yet, but we stand upon it because we know that you are the victory. You are the healer. You are the healer, the name above all names. And for her husband, Doug, I know he's been dealing with some eye problems and was it liver stuff he was doing, dialysis and stuff he was doing, all those things. And Lord, we're lifting up brother Tim for his, all the things have been messing with him. It started off as hernia stuff. And actually, what was the latest? I forgot. Was it more heart-related or? I forgot. Oh, there was. Okay, there was some cancer, but now the cancer is gone from Tim. Okay, liver for Tim. Okay, so we're speaking new livers. Okay, he's on the transplant list. Okay, all right. Anyway, we're speaking a new liver for him, right? New liver, new body, mind, and spirit. New body, mind, and spirit. Thank you, Lord. And I'm also, and I hope she's watching now, or she might be watching later, for Sharon. Sharon, I'm told, doesn't live too far from here. She said, I was hoping she'd be here tonight. She's going to be here on Sunday. She's had cysts on her knees, have been a lot of pain. She's been dealing with a lot of things just tormenting her, like a lot of people are. you know, that isolation is the number one tool of the enemy. And the enemy will get you alone and just pump you with different thoughts and fears, false experiences, you know, all these false experiences that we just internalize, and what happens is, oh, the what ifs, right? The what ifs. And sadly, I can tell you from experience, from the years I dealt with anxiety and fear, we make ourselves our own God because we want to control everything. We want to make sure that every instance we've got into, we've got full control over. But once the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, flows through and does that, then that's done, right? That's done. No more fear. No more fear, for by His stripes. By His stripes were you healed. We want to be very specific now to coming against the COVID stuff. So, Modi, can I have you come up here? I want to put this mic on you so people on Facebook can hear you. If you don't mind sitting here.
Sure.
You want to just hold this, or you want to clip it on?
Dad, that was really neat. When you said false experiences about fear, I had an acronym roll through my mind. It said false experiences aggravating reality. Spells out fear, doesn't it? That's right. It's kind of true. You know, it's a lot of just twisting reality and planting these lies in our mind or these what ifs that haven't happened. So that's really big. But like I said, God was just really impressing it on my heart that COVID is something that, I mean, we've been talking about it, we've been seeing it in our world, all in our reality. But God was like, you need a moment where you can just sit and just rise up as the church. Rise up as the church and speak to this. Speak to this illness, speak to this virus that has come into our world, come into our nation. Is this microphone like sounding fuzzy to you? Do I need to move it? I don't know why it's
not that part, it's
I don't know why it's like making that sound, but I hear an odd oh, thanks. But I think what we need to be doing is speaking to this, and as the church, we need to be coming against it actively. Because right now, like, what is stopping it? Nothing. If we don't come up against it, if we don't use the power that we have, if we don't have that in our tool belt, and we aren't using the tools that we have in our tool belt, you know, then what's the point? Why do we even have that tool belt sitting there? You know, it's just going to start collecting rust. So we need to get up, we need to pick up those tools, and we need to use it, and then we need to fight against the enemy. We need to fight against COVID. And it's not about if you're wearing a mask or if you aren't wearing a mask. God really laid that on my heart. He was like, the church is becoming divided about whether we should be wearing a mask or not. If you want to wear a mask, wear it. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear it. The important thing is when we are going at each other about masks, it's like we're going like this. When there's this third thing, there's this thing over here that we need to be coming together and looking at and paying attention to. And what is that? That's COVID. It's like wearing a mask is like the secondary step. The number one step we should be doing is going to God. Going to God about healing our land. Going to God about eradicating this virus. And that's what's most important. I was watching a video from a pastor down in Georgia. And he said that what he felt led to do was to do a 21-day fast. And I posted this on my Facebook page. So, T-Dog, I know you've seen this. That can take a couple of different forms, but what I ended up doing was, for me, it's not a food fast, but it's more of a time thing. So what I do is I set aside an hour each day, because that's what God laid on my heart for me to do. So I set aside an hour each day, 30 minutes of that. I'd say I'm on my knees because that's the phrase, but really I'm just kind of sitting cross-legged on my bed because my bed is like my prayer zone. But I sit on my bed, or I lay on my bed, and I just pray just against COVID that it would be eradicated, that we would be freed from this disease, that we would be freed and that we would not have to deal with this anymore, because our God is a God of healing, and He is above all of this crap, right? He's above all of this. So I spend 30 minutes doing that, and then I spend 30 minutes just dwelling in God, because it's really important that we're listening to His voice and just deepening that relationship with Him, because it's twofold. So we're coming to Him, we're pleading to Him, eradicate this disease, but there's also that aspect of we need to be able to know that we are listening to His voice and that we are seeing seeing how he wants things to play out and know if we are discerning his voice or not. And so that's really important in growing in our faith and not just going to him when we have needs. So that's why I'm doing the 30-30. But again, for some people, it is maybe just eating one meal a day or two meals a day or something like that. But it started August 1st, and it's going until August, well, if it's a 21-day fast, that would be August 21st. So it's going to be for that length of time. And so if you feel led to do that, awesome. If not, that's fine, too. I just wanted to share the place that I'm coming from so you all know what's going on. But why don't we just all... I'm going to start us out just inviting the Holy Spirit into this place. And then we'll go around. We can start with you, Linda, and then we can move around. And then I'll finish us out. But just think about dwelling in God's Spirit and the incredible power that he has to heal. And whether that's declarations of faith or just soft-spoken, you know, conversation with God, however you pray, whatever style, you know, that's fine. It doesn't have to be eloquent or anything like that. You know, because God hears all of us, and he hears us in the ways that we speak because he gave us that language. So, God, I just invite you into this space right now. I invite you to fill our hearts, fill our minds, and that you would just reveal to us, you know, the mysteries and the ways that we need to be speaking to you, or the things that need to be addressed that maybe we don't even know about, and that you would just pour into our hearts, God, that you would pour into our hearts and you would just give us your love and an understanding, a peace and a fighting spirit so that we are able to come up against this COVID and that we can speak against it, knowing that we have the authority in you, knowing that each one of us, every one of these believers sitting in this room, has been given that power through Christ. Through Christ, we are given this power to stand up against the virus and to come against it and to say it has no place in our homes, in our cities, in our churches, in our nation, in our world. So God, just come into this space. You want to go, Linda?
My prayer is for the junk go will, but I want VV get crowded again. That's my wish. And also get crowded. And why I say my place? Because I go there 2 days a week and I miss all the people there. It's so quiet. I miss the noise. All kind of noise they make, I miss it.
Father, I love it when you're present and when we can feel you. And it happens a lot. And I just wish that people would understand that and experience that. So we pray not only that we pray for this COVID and the power that you have taking it away, but the power that you have to bring these people, that they're not listening to stories or listening to fears, but they know that they can reach out to you and that you will help protect them. This hedge of protection that you can so readily build up around us, there are many people that don't understand that. And we just pray that they will begin to understand that. And that we may be that light to help them to call on you when they are afraid. And yes, we can be concerned and take the precautions that we need. And all these parents, Lord, that are worried about their children, and that they can make good decisions because they've talked to you about it, and make safe decisions because they have spoken to you about it. And we just ask you, Lord, to to just touch on these people. We know of your touch. We've seen it, we've felt it, and we know that you can reach out and get rid of this. And we just give it to you to get rid of. However you want to do that, Lord, it's okay with me. We just want it to go. There are so many people who are hurting, who don't understand, who just are sitting and saying, why? And if they could just trust and lean upon you, that this would be gone. The masses of people could help it go because of the masses of people that love you. And in your name I pray. And in your name I just give thanks for what you've done already.
God's word brings the evil. doubting. John 17:17 says that God's word is truth. Wake up, people. Wake up, Christians. Especially Christians. People that have made a declaration to Jesus Christ need to wake up. You need to stand on the authority that Jesus Christ has given you and not let this fear wrap you up into a tight little ball and have everybody worrying about if you're wearing a mask or not, or if you're socially distancing or not, or any of that garbage, okay? Come on now. Christ died so you could live, right? Fear is not living. Concern, yes. Justifiable concern, absolutely. Very valid. Illegitimate fear. Fear is a liar. And it must stop. So under the authority and the power of Yeshua Christ Jesus, the power that is given to every single person that declares Christ Jesus, we come against COVID-19. We come against infirmity. We come against all things, all spirits. These are spirits, folks. All spirits contrary to the word of God. We command in the name of Yeshua Christ Jesus, the name above all names, we command that these things bow now and go. They must leave this place, leave planet Earth. Every sickness and disease you have, no matter what name it is, man has given to it, be it cancer, be it cysts, be it tumors, you go down the list of all the garbage, and if that includes any of the coronavirus, any name, these things are of spirits. See, what you're experiencing is the footprint. This is the result. It's the footprint of a spirit that has come upon you. That's what sickness is. It's a footprint because a demon is coming upon you. Cast that demon off of you. You know, oh, I can't do it. But Jesus gave you his authority. It's as simple as accepting Jesus Christ as your healer in the same way you accepted him as your Savior. And how did you do that? You made a decision. Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am a sinner. I am a sinner and I choose not to sin no more. Oh, I am sick. I accept you, Jesus, as my healer. I will be sick no more. Oh, Greg, I've prayed these prayers. You know, why hasn't Jesus healed me? No. Why have you not accepted what Christ already bought for you? And it's because the devil is tricking you. You've got to get into God's word. People that have been sick and deal with a lot of things, oh, I get into my Bible. Man, if you don't be telling me you're getting into your Bible if you're sick all the time. Don't be telling me that. Yes, you will endure times of trial. You will be sick at certain points in your life. But bless God, July of 2008, I had hands laid on me. I was set free from anxiety and OBS and all this garbage. I have not been to a Western medical doctor since 2008. I have not taken any over-the-counter anything, no aspirin, no nothing. Why? I give it all to God. If I'm feeling bad, I'll go to bed. When I wake up the next morning, boom, I'm healed, okay? I had one time where I was dealing with stuff for 3 days, and it was sinus garbage, right? Nothing major. It was sinus garbage. Why? Because it was an emotional wreck. I was an emotional wreck because I had a dog that needed to be put down. I couldn't bring myself to it emotionally. I was tormented emotionally, and that's when the enemy sneaks on in and starts dragging you down. You have three immune systems, folks: your spiritual immune system, your emotional immune system, and your physical immune system in that hierarchy. And when you are strong in your spiritual immune system, when your faith and trust is in God, said another way, when there's no fear, you're at peace. Emotionally, you are protected physically. Receive your healing, for it belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. Proclaim that right now. Say it with me. This healing belongs to me.
This healing belongs to me.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
I will fear no more.
I will fear no more.
I am healed now in Jesus' name.
I am healed now in Jesus' name.
It is finished. It is done.
It's finished. It is done.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say, Melanie?
Oh, I sure do. You got me all fired up now.
God, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much for all of you have given us so far. God, I just thank you. You just keep bringing it. Just keep bringing it. God, we know that you are king. We know that you are king. And right now what we are doing is we are taking this mask and we are trying to make it a crown. We are taking this mask and we are trying to make it a crown. But God, what do we know? We know that even though Corona may have a crown, that Jesus is king. Jesus is king. He is king over all of this. God, you are king over all of this. So it is time that we stop bowing, that we stop letting coronavirus rule our lives. It is time that we stop allowing coronavirus to tell us where we can go, where we can eat, who we can talk to, how we can talk to them. God, that is not how you designed us. You designed us to be in communion. You designed us to be able to interact with people and to talk with people and to speak to people and to preach to people and to be friends with them. God, all of these things we need our mouths to do. The tongue is one of the most powerful parts of the body. You know, life and death lies in the tongue. All of that. And so what are we doing? We are seeing that this is the year of the mouth. This is the year where deliverance, where the church will begin to rise up. And so what does the devil do? He covers our mouths. He tries to put a mask over it. He tries to shut us down. So God, we are saying no more. We are saying no more. We are not having any of this crap. We are not dealing with any of this coronavirus any longer because we have the authority vested in us. I feel like I'm doing a marriage ceremony right now, God, by the power vested in me. But God, no, you have the power and you vested it in us. You vested it in us to go out and to speak to the nations, to speak to the people, to speak to each and every soul that is confused or scared or lost or anything like that, God. All of that, you are coming into us, you are coming into our hearts, and you say, peace, be still. You say, I got this. I got this all under control. You say, come to me with your burdens. Lay them at my feet. Lay them at my feet, and I will lift you up. I will lift you up above coronavirus. It shall not touch you. It shall not touch your family. It shall not touch your child. It shall not touch your dog. It shall not touch any part of your sphere of influence. Why? Because we are Christians. Right? We are Christians, and God just exudes from us. God exudes from us, and so everyone that we touch, there's a fingerprint of God on them through us. We are God's hands and God's feet. We are touching lives. We have that power to get out and touch people. I wasn't going to share this earlier during the praises because, like I said, I thought it was bragging, but I feel it's appropriate to share right now. I got something at church today. Not at church. I'm in church now. I got something at work today, and it's called a cut above. And so what it means is that you're doing outreach and you're helping people in essence with their sewing problems or whatever. And so I cut a lot of fabric for masks. Oh boy. So I was doing that. And so my manager gave me, I have a couple of little scissor pins for these cut aboves because I've helped out a couple of customers. And so they've given me these pins, but she came to me today and she said, Melody, I want to give you, so the other ones are tiny and they're silver. She said, I want to give you these golden scissors. And I'm like, oh boy, another way to appease me. Anyway, but I was like, it's a feel good, but I liked it. So it was a big old golden scissor with a big old rhinestone smack dab in the middle. And she was like, I've gotten about 20 calls from customers saying how much they appreciate you and how much you have helped them and how they appreciate that. And so I've never given this to anyone in all my time working here at Joann since the store has been open for two or more years, but I'm giving you this pin right now. So I was like, this is such an honor, but the first thing I thought of was God. The first thing I thought of was God. I was like, God is using me to bless people. And I say that again, not to brag about myself, because it's not about me. It is about me listening to the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God and blessing people and talking to them about not being afraid and about coming above these masks and these viruses and all of that stuff and being that encouraging voice, being the voice of God, which is what we are called to do too. We are called to be the voice of God, and you're doing so much of that in your ministry, at the bookstore. You are doing so much of that with V&V. You're doing that at Mobile Common with the people in your family even, because you are the Christian, and you are the strong Christian in that household. You are the one that is building up others around you. And I'm not saying that there aren't Christians in your household, but you know, as a communion, you and your family are building up, and you're building with God together. And Dad, you're doing that too. You know, you're rubbing off on me and Mom and Carol and Matthew and all of us. But my point is that what are we doing? We have that power in us to get out there and to talk to people. To talk to people and to say, this coronavirus has no home in your body, in your home, in your church, in your nation, in your city, in your world, any of this. Because we are greater than the devil. We are greater than him. God is up in the highest heaven. The devil is only at the first heaven, okay? And I know that may sound a little bit confusing, but that just means that he's like the prince of the air, you know? He's in all these airwaves, and he's messing things up, basically. But by golly, we got God. We got God, and we have that power to touch other people. To touch other people and to bring them to Christ and to just instill in them the values and the understanding that coronavirus cannot belong, does not belong, will not belong. And it's time that we use that power and then we just touched other people with it. Let me pray for you. It's as easy as that. If someone says that they're scared or they don't want to, you know, they don't want to talk about it, or there's maybe fear that's being instilled inside of them, let's pray about it. You know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the real issue, which is eradicating coronavirus. Let's talk about that. And let's know and depend on God that he is doing a mighty work right now. Because I tell you what, if the devil's been having this much of a field day with coronavirus for this many months, you know that there is a big move of God happening. Oh, I'm getting the Holy Spirit chills right now. There is a big move of God happening. God is speaking to us. God is going to make the church rise up. He is casting, yes, he is casting aside religion, okay? He is casting aside our traditions of we need to do this, we need to do that. Religion. No, he's saying, no, I want a true, pure, unadulterated relationship with you and with the church, with my body, with my people, unobstructed by rules and all these other things. And we are going to rise up. We're rising up against this pandemic. That's the first step. We're rising up against all these other things because this coronavirus, I feel like it's linked to other things. It's linked to because we have other sins and we have other darknesses that are in this world right now. And so it's like a giant chain link. That's what's going on right now. So one of those links is coronavirus. Another one is like abortion. Another one is racism. All of them trickle along. All of those. So what do we got to do? We got to break the chains. Literally, we have to break the chains. And we have that power. We have that power to break those chains. So Father God, I just thank you as you just allow us to break that chain. Break that chain of sickness. Break that chain of disease. Break the chains that the devil thinks that he has power over us. Right now we are standing in faith. We are saying, devil, run. Run, devil, run. Get away from us. Flee. Flee from our presence. Free from the Lord. Free from the Lord because God is standing right behind us. God is standing right behind us and he's looking down and he's saying, uh-uh, you got to go. You got to get out of here. So that's what we are doing. We are praising God right now. We are praising God right now that coronavirus dies, coronavirus is gone, and that it has no place, no place with us. The song I'm thinking of right now is Hosanna. I don't think we've sung in a church before. It was with Hillsong. And Dad, I'm afraid if I sing on this mic that it's not going to come through very well because this is a speaking mic and not a musical mic. But if I come over to one of these mics, is it already on or do I need to turn it on? Good ears? Okay.
How about this one? Oh, this is good.
Okay.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Do that again. Hosanna, Hosanna.